Okay, it's 3:20. This is the restart time that I notated on the minutes. So I'll bring the meeting back to order. Is there other questions that you have for anyone in the public reconsidering
Chairman,
where we're at?
I have a question. It's a clarifying question. Okay. And it's just conflicting information contained within the staff report. I'm looking at Exhibit F. It's a comprehensive plan designation for the city of Greenleaf that indicates this parcel is to be residential high density, but I was also reading that the city of Greenleaf has this designated as agricultural low density. So I would like clarification on which one it is. And Chairman, while they're looking that up, I'm going to follow up, and I'm looking at Exhibit 2B, and it's on the FCOs for the director's decision. It's number 8 on the findings. It says that building permits have been clustered. It created parcels 4 and 5 north of the original parcel. Those building permits and the transfer of that, allowing that parcel to be created, designates this as an agricultural-only parcel. So residential designation on that, in my mind, is also inconsistent. And I would like clarification on that.
Chairman. Commissioner Van Beek. So on the screen, you'll see that my clip of the map that's available to us on our GIS system indicates that the City of Greenleaf's comprehensive plan has this identified in two designations of agriculture and residential high density. The location of where the proposed substation would be is actually on the future land use map designated for agriculture. I don't know on the low density, high density, but the again, there's residential and agriculture is what's identified for the future land use of this property. For Canyon County, the future land use is designated as residential. The current zoning is agriculture.
Thank you for the feedback and the clarification. So I'm going to redirect our attention to Exhibit 2A of the staff report, page 3, I guess, under the surrounding area. And that is where I found the information. County's future land use designation for this property is residential in the future, and a utility facility is permitted by the director's decision. Future land use designation is industrial 1/4 mile to the east. The City of Greenleaf's future land use designation for this subject property is agriculture and low density residential. And then it references the Exhibit F, which we just looked at. So there's a conflict still exists on. And the biggest issue, in my humble opinion on this, is that with the transfer of two building permits from this parcel when it was divided, automatically renders this parcel, according to Canyon County ordinance, as an agricultural-only parcel. Unless I misunderstood what's in our ordinance.
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, it currently, the status of the parcel is agricultural. For there are no residential permits available to this property without and again, we're talking about residential permits. There's no residential permits available to this property without going through a comp plan amendment or
right.
zone or some other mechanism to provide for residential permits to be available to this property.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, if I may as well, I'm looking at Exhibit 2A of the staff report. I believe it's the second page to second paragraph, last sentence, also referring to Canyon County Zoning Ordinance 07173E, which states that a lot or parcel created for the exclusive use of a public or private utility facility is exempt from the subdivision requirements. So this being a public or private utility facility also precludes that as well. And I would just like to point out, as we refer to the future land use map, the zoning of the property currently is agriculture. So when we're talking land uses as entitled under our zoning ordinance, the utility facility in the agricultural zone and also in RR under county zoning ordinance, R1 and R2 are permitted through a director's decision. In all other zones, they're in allowed use.
Thank you.
Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right. We're at the point that we need to contemplate the close of public testimony. So let's discuss that for a bit. If we're ready, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we close public testimony.
I will second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to close public testimony. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous. So at this time, the board will begin deliberation. As a reminder to the audience, decisions by the board must be based on information in the record and criteria outlined in Idaho State Code and Canyon County ordinances. No information is to be presented or discussed, and we will not take comments from the audience. It is important that we are able to discuss our opinion and make specific findings, and therefore, please be respectful as the board discusses this matter. So who would like to start?
Why not? Chairman.
Yes.
The first question that is posed to the board in the evaluation of these decisions, and it's true also for this director's decision, is if the essential nature and the character of the area. So the board historically goes through and looks at that. Would that be an acceptable place for our deliberation?
I'm good with that.
Okay. So in this packet, which I agree is well put together by our staff and the person appealing, as well as Idaho Power. Tough job for Idaho Power. I want to acknowledge that when with the influx of people, they have good quality people that represent Idaho Power here today. It's difficult to find siting locations for these, so there's respect for that process. However, as I look at the pictures that have been provided by Idaho Power, as well as the pictures that are provided by people that are boots on the ground that live in the area, I would submit that my findings are that there is a significant change that would take place in putting a substation at this location. They, even with the enhancements of concrete buildings and landscaping, I do think that that represents a more city area of impact lifestyle. This is still surrounded by pretty big ag. And so for that question, which I don't know, I guess we still have to find affirmative findings or negative. Is it the same rules, Chairman, on the director's decision as it is for the regular hearings on the one is an out?
You bring up a good question. It's really our decision where it's an appeal, and we're looking at either substantiating the director's decision or or overturning it.
Right, thank you. So my second point in the nature and the character of the area, I have, you have a history of land use decisions. Commissioner Brooks has a 2-year history and I have a 6-year history. I have sat through previous hearings where there was information that was provided that was supported and substantiated by the board that a decrease in property value represented a loss to the people, the surrounding. So there was a financial impact to them. And I, again, want to say appreciation for the quote that they're utilizing ratepayer dollars. The board is charged with you doing the same thing with taxpayer dollars and then having the privilege of hearing the population, the people with an area of interest come. And I have read the testimony and then heard the testimony, and then in previous hearings, it has been substantiated by different documentations that cell phone towers, that was specifically related to that.
Mr. Chairman.
It's analogous.
We're bringing in stuff from a different, different case.
We okay. shouldn't. Bring
Thank you. Thank you for the redirect. I'll just say that I think that in my mind, there's substantiation for the fact what's been provided on testimony today is that it could potentially decrease the value of the property.
Well, I think you run, it's, there's never a yang without a yang. So within our documentation, the next lowest cost alternative was almost $30 million more. So I think probably everybody here turns on a light switch. So everybody here is a utility user. And I have to discount the view shed, and I get this from time to time. If you like your view shed, buy the ground that you're looking over, because otherwise it's not your view shed. It's across somebody else's property, and they have the full right to develop it, just like your house got developed. So the view shed is an issue. The noise for me is subjective. I get it. If I had this substation within 300 feet of my home, would there be times during the night or the day that you might be able to hear it? Because the answer is probably yes, but it would be distant. So I guess I'm really wrestling with, I get the change of value in home values and that you didn't get to choose about this. But the flip side is that our rates will be impacted because of choosing to not allow this to be built at this site. The next site will be significantly cost more, and that'll be shared with everybody. So we had one piece of information that, well, if this happens, you owe me $100 a month. Well, if this doesn't happen, do you owe me some money because my rates go up? I mean, growth happens and it's complicated. And we get to sit here and make complicated decisions that there's nobody always wins. There's losers, there's winners. So I'll let you guys talk for a little bit. I'm just a little bit frustrated with the bucket I got handed. So,
Mr. Chairman, normally these decisions come to us, as Commissioner Van Beek alluded to, with a set of criteria that we get to go through. So for me, the criteria is this is in a utility corridor. The county and the city comp plans, this is in compliance with both of those, and each of them actually have language encouraging this kind of development along in a utility corridor. I'm looking through the pictures of the existing substations that were in our packet from Idaho Power. They vary quite a bit. And I guess for me, I would prefer the one that's on Beacon Light and Linder that actually has a substantial berm and growth. Basically, unless you know what you're looking at from the power lines, to know that there's something behind those trees, at least from that vantage point that was provided, you can't really tell something's there. Evidence was provided for EMF and noise concerns. Actual data was provided, I should probably say. Actual data to prove the contrary was not provided. No evidence was provided for a detail, with detail concerning the drop in values. So I guess I don't have the same issues that have already been expressed with that, considering you look at the aerial photos that were provided. I mean, substations go in around development. They're not putting them out in the middle of nowhere where no one's at. And people continually choose to purchase to live around them. So I guess I don't know what criteria other than people have signed up and they don't want it to use to actually find in favor of the appeal. Because I have no idea how we would turn that into any FCOs to substantiate finding in favor of the appeal.
We are in a quagmire, that is for sure.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes.
So on the slide before you have us, County Ordinance 07-1503, Director's Decision. I'll draw your attention to the first criteria here, which talks about compliance with granting a utility facility shall be within the discretion of the director following a full review of the facts as stated on the application and as received as a result of the required notification process. The burden of persuading the director to grant a permit is on the applicant. The director shall consider the uses of surrounding properties in the determination of the compatibility of the proposed utility facility with such uses. If I would draw your attention then to the original staff report, which is going to be Exhibit 2A on the column that we talked through, County Ordinances 07-1027, 07-1503, which is the section you have here before you, and then 07-1805 and 07-1807. In your FCOs, which is Exhibit 2B, under the criteria there, you have those criteria that, if you look up here, don't necessarily perfectly align. Those are, I believe, what we're using to further evaluate that compatibility. One element that I would like to bring forward to the commission as well is that when you do refer to the Canyon County ordinances under 070203, I bring this forward so that it may help the commission's discussion and deliberation. When talking about the definition of compatibility, land uses are compatible if they do not directly or indirectly interfere or conflict with or negatively impact one another, and B, they do not exclude or diminish one another's use of public and private services. A compatibility determination requires a site-specific analysis or potential interactions between uses and potential impacts of existing and proposed uses on one another. Ensuring compatibility may require mitigation from or conditions upon a proposed use to minimize interference and conflicts with existing uses. And we can provide that definition on the screen as well if that would be helpful. Okay. In discussing compatibility.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carl. And that would be helpful if you could put that up there.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Chair, Commissioners, is the text large enough, or would you like us to?
It's good. Commissioner Van Beek, how would you like to proceed then? This is an area that I think that you're concerned about. If I'm reading you right, if not, correct me.
And Chairman, I was waiting for comments. This is directly tied to an area that you have interest in, wearing two hats, which I find have found beneficial in this process with 25 years of land use experience and then direct oversight on this. What I heard our staff say was that this was within proximity of the city of Greenleaf. There's half mile, is that what you said?
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, I had it at about 1,050-60 feet.
So less, maybe a quarter of a mile.
About an estimate.
Yeah.
Just using GIS management.
And then that there was an approval of 113 homes. What's the proximity? And I don't know who to look at to ask the question.
Commissioner or Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, I believe that was in a letter of testimony from us. We do not have an approval, but the city of Greenleaf may, and I believe that was in testimony in one of the exhibits.
Okay, thank you, Deb. So, Chairman, is that appropriate to ask if you can field that question? Is that area that's scheduled with entitlements in proximity to what's being presented for increasing the service to this area?
Yeah, it's within the service area, yes, directly. Probably approximately a little over half a mile away. Point to point.
Thank you. And I just have a lot of questions. Is that planned to be city density then, is what I'm assuming, with city services?
It is. It's an approved preliminary plat at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
So if I'm reading you right, Commissioner Brooks, you're basically in favor with the presented conditions that the director gave. Are you suggesting that the other beacon light siding might be a little bit more desirable, or does?
Mr. Chairman, for me, it would be, considering the berm and whatnot compared to some of those others. I realize that some of them have chain link, some of them have the concrete wall, and then there's the berm one. So I have no idea what kind of conditions, how you would word it to make it that way, but I would be in support of that. I'm not, you know, doing cartwheels and backflips about upholding the director's decision, but for me, I don't know how I would substantiate overturning it.
Okay. Well, this is on a corner, so a berm might be problematic if it's too close up to the intersection. So if they could site it way back, or they could do landscaping or something, my caution would be for just not convoluting the vision of the travelers going through that intersection.
Again, Mr. Chairman, page 135 of the staff report, the berm.
Okay.
I mean, that substation's at a corner. I don't know what the setbacks are. That's one reason why I asked earlier. I mean, if they can go further into the piece of property to where the setbacks are most minimal to the north and to the east, then they could probably get away with hiding this thing pretty well and being away from the intersection. But
Chairman? Yes. And that would be the question I would have for Carl. Can the board require a substantially compliant based on the enticements that have been provided by the Idaho Power?
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, are you referring to ensuring that the plan provided is substantially compliant with the mitigations proposed by the applicant?
No, I'm suggesting that it be substantially compliant with something that's been presented in their application, which didn't have to be a photo showing something. But this is a corner piece of property. I think Commissioner Brooks is, what he's saying is if it was substantially compliant to that to help mitigate some of the concerns so that it didn't look like some of the other pictures that are also provided in there that are not as aesthetically pleasing. Is that, I don't want to speak for Commissioner Brooks.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. If the commission is desirous of adding a condition such as berming to mitigate and increase compatibility with surrounding land uses, I would recommend that the wording of that be tied to something such as, for example, a landscaping plan and a site plan in alignment with and showing berming be provided and either reviewed by development services staff at the time of building permit submittal or what have you. Something to that effect may be there.
You could just put substantially similar to the beacon light location.
That would also be amendable.
Yeah, that'll give them something to go by. And it's part and parcel of what was in our packet.
Chairman, fellow commissioners, can you please define how many sides of that facility you want to berm on?
It'd only be two.
Two.
Be the west side and the south side.
And still require the fencing or chain link?
I would say the rest stays in.
Okay.
Mr. Van Beek, do you need to deliberate some more?
Not necessarily. I'm still interested in, I know what Commissioner Brooks' position is.
Well, I can go down through where I'm at, and we can go from there.
Okay.
So I wrote a quote, "The unknown that we don't know puts me in a position that I have to have quantitative information to weigh against." And we went through a bunch of their concerns, explosions of transformers, fires, horrific event. It would have been very helpful to give me an explosion of transformers in the Idaho Power Network. I'm not responsible for somebody outside of this county. I can't, Well, we do plan for horrific events, but I'm not really sure how I would be legally able to overturn this off of that type of concern. Location is bad. I would most likely agree with you there, but I'm a public servant and I have to weigh a $10 million cost here and a plus $30 million cost at the next lowest alternative. That's real money that I have to be accountable for. The home values, I'm very frustrated with because we sit with different hats on this board and we deal with comps all the time. We have to make reasonable, measurable decisions, and nobody brought me comps on this. And I have compassion for you, but I can't make decisions off of feelings and concerns. I have to have something tangible. And so I'm frustrated there. I'm trying to help you, but I'm getting no traction here. The EMF is debatable. But I really didn't get any the burden is upon the applicant, and on the side who wants us to overturn, they didn't give me anything. They gave me opinions, and you can go down the EMF trail to ad nauseum, and yes, there's something there. I'm not discounting your concern. I have to have something I can measure, something I can base a decision off of, and you didn't give me anything. Idaho Power did. And that was in the public record, and you could have looked it up, and you could have counteracted every one of their assertions. But that didn't happen. The view will change. You know, I live in a very unique piece of property. I have a ball field out my front door, and I have a 110-acre out my back door. I don't own either one of them. When the school church decides to do something with my front lawn that I get to see, it's over. I heard in the last 30 days that the owner of the 110 acres is seeking to sell it commercially. There goes my sunset. My view shed. But I don't own it. It's his property to do what he wants. So those are difficult things. Those are quality of life things. But we on this commission have to make land use decisions, and land use decisions need to be something we can base. So land use decisions, whether you understand them or not, are always challengeable. 50 years from now, it's challengeable. Whatever we decide could be challenged in 20 days or 20 years. And I would not be a good commissioner if I knowingly make a decision that we cannot defend in court, because it's wasted my time, my energy, my resources, and it gets overturned. I don't have anything here so far that I can grasp and I can say with specificity, and I can give to my lawyer when he goes before the bench on an appeal of this decision. You put me in an untenable position. And I'm frustrated because I hear your words that you wouldn't want that out your back door. And I get that, because I wouldn't have been able to have chosen whether I bought that property right beside that substation, because I'm there at that property before a substation could have been built. So I hear what you're saying. I'm just frustrated that I have no specificity for this commissioner today with what the packet I have, which is both pro and con. I don't have anything that I feel that I can legally say, due to this and this and this, I can overturn the director's decision. And it's frustrating to me, because I have to follow the law and I have to follow the code, and that's my job. And if I don't do it, it won't end well. So that's where I'm at. I'm in the same boat somewhat like Commissioner Brooks, but I don't see anything that I have any grounds of specificity in both my packet presented and the verbal testimony that I've taken notes over today. Where are you two at?
Chairman.
Tell me where I'm wrong. I'd be happy to know where.
And Chairman, I appreciate your comments. I do. And in the process of deliberation, which is sometimes uncomfortable because we're getting the first crack at trying to make a decision for our constituents that's raw and on the open record. So I believe that good questions, good information, good deliberation, if it's done properly, helps lead to a decision. I am not for this location. However, I was intentional in my questions. I try to be, as the rest of the board, researched and to the best of my ability, understand what it is that we're decisioning, because it does affect people's lives. I asked earlier about entitlements, and then you confirmed that within a half mile of this property, there are 113 homes scheduled for this area. Some of the smaller cities in Kenyon County struggle to have infrastructure, whether it's broadband, services, city and water and sewer, any of that. And so I like the rural nature of this. I don't like the idea of a substation. We referenced the pictures that were provided. Some of them are unattractive. That just flat looks like an industrial area I wouldn't live in either. With that being said, a mitigation that we could use that was proposed by Commissioner Brooks is to make it substantially compliant with a picture that has been provided by Idaho Power as a part of our packet in testimony. I agree with you, Chairman, that if our platform is that we make decisions on information that's been provided, I'm carefully saying this, but there was information provided in the previous case that I sat through where comps were submitted to the board for review, where reduced values in home, that was substantiating. So that's a little bit different than what happened. I did try to ferret that information out, and we have professionals that are in the room on both sides, respect for that, but I don't have any comps that would substantiate the position that there's an actual something. The old incomes have provided information in there. I think they're reputable agents that have been in the valley a long time. Their numbers are 10 to 30%. We heard from the appeal applicant that it was 7 to 10%. It's a pretty big spread. I don't know what the percent is, and I didn't have, and I wasn't, the fact that there was a different hearing with a different project. I was trying to get somewhere where I could make a comparison, and I couldn't do that. To your point on the fairness to the taxpayer, it is true. If there's a reduction or something that happens on the home side of it, if we drive the price up by relocating this to a different area, do I think it can be done? I sure do. I saw it happen in Middleton with the movement of that Idaho power plant, but I don't have the history on what that cost. That one actually looks kind of nice at night. It's all lit up. But this is what we get paid to do, is to sit here and deliberate it out. And I probably needed additional information from those opposed with more fact-based. Not that they didn't do a good job, because I think they did, and I agree with them. I disagree with the statement that there won't be an impact. But we have the counterweight of, you'll see increased costs for electrical services. I guess we're moving in a way of deliberation, but the additional information, and I think it's important that you weigh in, and thank you for doing it, and some of the mitigation that's been proposed. I don't know how to counter the other, because the job of the board is to evaluate the criteria, and then, if it's possible, to provide mitigation for areas of concern.
So the only, I shouldn't say only. So a possible mitigation would be to consider requesting Idaho Power to look at their lowest next cost alternative. Besides that, I think that we have deliberated and come upon the specifics of what we would say in a denial of the appeal. So those are two greatly differing points, but I'm cautious to go to the point of asking Idaho Power for an alternative, because I don't know that I have clear legal grounds. I mean, it's in an ag area. It's a conforming use. It meets all of the land use criteria. Forget the individuals involved, and correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, but it meets all the criteria to place it here. That's why the planner's decision was given to the director, and then the director concluded the same conclusion.
Chairman, can I respond to that?
Yes.
With that being said, I would be in favor of that. The presenter for Idaho Power, again, a respect for his position in that, but I didn't receive, I guess I could have gotten more, or would have appreciated more information if we're going to talk about any weaknesses in the testimony on either side. But the areas that are noticed here, we got one on next to a canal. But the other thing I don't know, have a family member in a position of Idaho Transportation Department purchasing easements for sections along Highway 2026 that are in development. So I don't know, for me, I would want to know, did they give them a lowball price that nobody would accept, or is there latitude to buy that smaller parcel at an increased price that would be a benefit to everybody in the surrounding area? So I would actually be in favor of what you're suggesting, that they come back with more specificity on this site map and prove up the areas. It says seven areas, but there's more parcels here that are in red than what's here. And the timeline for doing that, the build out, I think, is 2027, I think.
Mr. Chairman, I would not be in favor of entertaining that.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, members of the commission, just to reiterate, and based on your comment, Chairman Holton, the criteria for the director's decision for the utility facility, we brought back up onto the screen for you. Again, reiterating that determination for the compatibility and how that is defined within the Cannon County ordinance. And those criteria that are listed in those FCOs are not explicitly listed herein, but I believe those are partially what are used to evaluate that. Pursuant to Cannon County Ordinance 07-15-0307, there aren't a lot of criteria to evaluate these types of uses within that director's decision other than what you have here before you on the screen.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Are you to that point, Commissioner Van Beek? Where are you at?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we hereby deny the appeal AD2024-0046-APL, affirming the director decision for approval case number AD2024-0046 with the added condition that this substation would be in substantial conformance to the appearance and landscaping as the Beacon Light Linder Road substation that Idaho Power had in their presentation, and that Development Services would have a opportunity to review that before it was implemented.
Okay. Okay, motion's been made. Discussion or a second?
And Chairman, I would want the additional information. And in the absence of that piece, then I would be unable to support that. I would want more information on why those sites were not suitable.
Discussion before the second?
Yes.
Absolutely. Testimony was that they weren't suitable because they could not purchase them. If they weren't suitable, I don't know why they would have attempted to purchase them.
Don't know that we can satisfy your desire for the new and more information.
And Chairman, this is a commission of three. The odd number means there could be an odd man out, and I am the notorious question asker with a more information. That's usually my mantra.
Okay. All right. I'm back to my frustration because I don't see any way out that's defendable to because I do think that there could have been possibly better sites that had less residential impact, but
correct.
I can't get there I don't feel legally comfortable with overturning the decision. I don't see a clear legal way forward to do that. So with that said, I would second the motion that's been made. So is there any other discussion before we vote? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
One opposed. Okay. All righty. So I don't see any other business that we need to take care of at this point. We will need to reconvene at a later date with the finalized decision for the board to approve that, that we've spoken verbally, but it'll be put in writing. So that'll be at a future unknown date, but it'll probably be within the next couple weeks. This board is on different commissions and places next week, and so it'll probably, it could even be 3 weeks. So we'll see how we can get it scheduled. With that, I don't have any other business for this agenda item.
Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We are adjourned.